This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
So, and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Weekly Golf Podcast. Another couple of events to take a look at this week. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, joined in the studio by Dave Tindall to preview, as I say, two events that we've got coming up, the South African Open and the QB Shootout. Dave will be offering his best bets on both events, or hopefully so anyway. First things first, how are you, Mr. Tindall?
I'm good, thank you. Sam, are you?
Good, yeah, not too bad at all. I was just saying to you there before we recorded the podcast, I always, in my mind, have that Hero World Challenge as the concluding event of the golfing year, but they keep eking it out, don't they?
Yeah, they keep on going.
We've got another couple of weeks, have we?
We've got, next week, there's another event in South Africa, and I think that really is it then, until
definitely
January the 1st.
Do you promise?
Yeah. I promise, right. Yeah. As far as I can think, maybe something else will crop up, but as far as Europe and America are going, that should be it, although don't hold me to that. There's probably like the Indonesian Open or something where Justin Rose is playing.
Yeah, sure.
Not actually sure that isn't the case, but there you go. Anyway, here we go with this week.
It could well be, indeed. We'll start with a look back on the Mauritius Open from last week, won by Kurt Kitayama. Not perhaps a household name, but then again, neither is Justin Harding, really, and you managed to unearth him for a full place, Dave.
Yeah, the two were actually tied for the lead going into the final round, and because Kurt Kitayama isn't, you know, Brooks Koepka or Justin Rose, I thought, I've got a chance here.
Yeah.
But in the end, Kitayama held his nerve. He's a promising player, hits it a long way. Came through European Tour Q School. He's been playing in the Far East, doing well there. But yeah, big step up for him to win that. And a little bit disappointed with Justin Harding on the final day. But I feel it's okay in it to get 40-1 place. So not too bad. So he managed to hold on. I thought at one point it's the old classic where you're going into the final day tied for the lead and you come eighth and you don't even get the eighth way money. And you end up sort of not liking him an awful lot for many months.
But yes
he battled on to a fourth, didn't he, I think, so not too bad.
Ricky Fowler in one of the majors last year, I think, springs to mind from a I thought the each way is absolutely locked up.
I'll go for the win now.
And finish about tied ninth.
When both elements go,
especially when you've already banked one of them mentally.
Yes,
you've already spent the each way part.
As much as you tell yourself not to.
Yeah, exactly. And the US event last week as well, the Hero World Challenge, won by John Rahm, who won fairly convincingly in the end, winning by four shots to Tony Finau, who actually in finishing second denied Justin Rose a return to world number one again, which will have been slightly irritable as far as Justin Rose is concerned.
Indeed, yes. Rose got, he actually birdied the last to stop Rose becoming world number one again, although it does seem to be sort of past the parcel back and forth.
Yes.
Tipped by Dave Kellner as well, Tony Finau. And in some kind of not great symmetry, he was tied for the league going into the final round as well. So we were on the wrong end of it both ways last time. But he did get an each way place for Dave at 16-1. So yeah, we did okay last week.
Yeah, very much so. A bit of a weekend to forget for Tiger, who obviously hosts this event.
Did he come last or next to last?
Second last. Yeah. Hideki Matsuyama saved him from the indignity of finishing last. Yeah. A weekend to forget for him, really.
Yeah, I think, he won the Tour Championship. Yeah. He can win again, I think. He's thinking about next year, isn't he, rather than trying to win this.
Very much so. As indeed most of the golfing world are now thinking about next year by these few events.
It's an interesting one. When we talk about the QBE, there's a theory that some of the sort of younger guys maybe are thinking next year, so it leaves the door open for maybe some of the older ones to sort of slip in and get a cheeky win, even though it doesn't really count for much. But But we've seen in the past veterans do well in this event, so I think it's worth pursuing that line of attack.
Yeah, very much. We'll get onto that tournament in a moment. We may as well do them chronologically because, of course, the South African Open begins on the Thursday as per usual. That QBU Shootout doesn't start until Friday. It's only a three-round event, so we start with the South African Open 2018. Show of betting here, no surprise to see the head of the market littered with South African names. Lou Oosthuizen is the 6-1 favourite. Matt Wallace 10-1. Dylan Fratelli is 10-1. Brandon Grace 11-1. Charles Schwartzel is 14-1. Dean Burmester is 20-1. 25-1 and bigger prices. The rest, again, plenty of South African names can be found at the head of the betting. Last year's winner, Chris Paisley, incidentally, is in the betting at 33-1 as well. Big field for this event. The each-way terms, fifth of the odds place, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. I'm reliably informed by that ever-reliable source that is Wikipedia that this event is the oldest National Open Golf Championship in the world. Did you know that, Dave?
The oldest, not the second oldest.
According to Wikipedia, anyway. So,
when did it start?
Could potentially be wrong. I did see it earlier, but I didn't write it down.
Maybe it's classing the Open as not a national championship.
Yeah, it did say oldest National Open Golf. Yes, so maybe
I'll settle for that.
Could be wrong. To be fair,
it is very old.
Yes, Chris Paisley winning it last year with a very low score of 21 under. South African players, for a lot of people, are going to be the likely starting point, I suppose, here, Dave. But I was just having a quick look at some of the recent winners. Only one South African winner in the last 6 years, compared to 10 of the previous 11, which were won by South Africans. So maybe it's less important to be a South African nowadays. It could just be an anomaly over the last few years.
Well, but I think the more tournaments that get played in South Africa, the more the Europeans go over and the more they sort of get used to it. So maybe the home advantage goes. Just a bit on the field and the kind of courses, and I say courses because it's two courses this week.
Right.
They play the Bushwillow one of the days and then the Firethorn the three other days.
Okay.
And if they seem vaguely familiar to some listeners, it's because they were the host courses for the Joburg Open last year. And the sort of two tournaments have merged. If you look at the full title of the event, it's the South African Open something.
Johannesburg.
So they kind of merged the two to kind of save it, which is a bit of a shame because, as you say, it's got such that big history that you'd think sponsorship wouldn't be a problem, but they've had to merge them. And because it's sort of the Joburg Open, one of the things about the Joburg Open, the field size is ridiculous, 240 players.
Blimey.
So that's why you need the two courses to get 120 on each. An awful lot of those are literally making up the numbers because they've got absolutely no chance. But it
also runs, are they?
Yeah. Before, you know, there's so many who can't possibly win. But there's enough at the top end, you know. There's still enough out of those 240 who can. So it's a tough week, I think, for a punter because you've got quite a lot of the fancied names, all pretty prohibitive in the betting there. People like Dylan Fratelli are like at 10s, Matt Wallace at 10s. We can argue a case for both quite strongly, but quite short, aren't they, at those prices?
Very much so. Have you unearthed value at bigger prices?
I've got a couple, I can't pretend it's amazing value or anything, but you mentioned him in the rundown of the odds, Dean Burmester at 20s. I just thought that's just about enough to get a bit of each-way juice in. I think he can win this as well. We last saw him finishing tied fourth at the DP World Tour Championship. That was an excellent effort from him in a very, very top-class field. So he's got the current form. He was 11th in the Nedbank before that. That was in South Africa, which is where he's from. So I read a quote the other day where he says he particularly loves these home events. He feels like he always plays well in them. And he got his one European Tour win in South Africa in the Tshwane Open. So 11th in the Nedbank, 4th in the DP World Tour Championship. Really, really nice form. And at this venue, Rand Park, he played the Joburg Open last year and finished tied 19th. That was a good effort. And then if you look at his South African form, it's just full of high finishes. You know, I've got the list. You can see this list in front of me. Yeah. There's a win there. There's God knows how many top 10. So some of those are local Sunshine Tour events, but others are co-sanctioned. So I just think he's one of the South Africans who does really, you know, step up when he goes home. I think he just loves it and he should be able to wheel away. Hits it a mile. So I thought 20-1, just about enough given that he ticks a lot of the boxes that we're looking at.
Once a player's got something like that in their mind as well, it becomes reality, doesn't it?
It's great.
Feels
you know, once
he plays well here,
it's sort of self-fulfilling, isn't it?
That's exactly what I was looking for.
So Dean Burmester's definitely got that. Because you'd think it probably applies to them all, but somebody like George Kurtsey's got an absolutely awful record in the South African Open.
Okay.
For example, even though he does play really well in other South African events. So, it's an interesting one. The South Africans, you can't just say en masse that they all play great, but certain ones, I think if you pick out, they do just, you know, nail it time after time. Burmester was fourth in last year's South African Open as well, or the 2017. It's hard to know with golf, it's confusing, isn't it? Because
whether they classify it as the year that you're in.
Yeah, in the golfing world, we are sat here in 2019.
Yes, yes. And have been since October.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, where are we? Golf is predicting the future.
Indeed. So Dean Burmester at 20-1. Was there anything else?
I also like Darren Fickart.
Okay.
I think we've got him around 50s.
We have 50-1 exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of one of the South African veterans. He's never been up there with the Oosthuizens and Schwartzels at the top bracket, but he's someone who can play really well on home soil again. He's won a number of times there. Last time we saw him go home to the Nedbank Golf Challenge against a top-class, world-class field, tied ninth there. So if he can do that with all the big names in town, I think he can thrive at this level as well. He's got some old course form as well. It's going back a little bit, but he was runner-up there in the 2000 South African Open.
Right.
Obviously, a golfer does have a long career and they can keep it.
Yeah, sure.
2000 would seem a bit irrelevant in other sports, but
yes,
in golf maybe not so much. And it also held a Sunshine Tour event there, the SAA Pro-Am Invitational. And he was sixth there it was 8 years ago, or was that nine, who knows. So he does play well on the course. Last few events in South Africa, ninth, second, first. The first was in the Sunshine Tour event back in March, but a guy who regularly steps up to the plate and has got a really, really good record in his home South African Open as well. So if you're looking for someone bit more of a sporting price who can run into a place and who knows, maybe get the win as well, I think Darren Fickart would be your man.
50-1 for Darren Fickart, and of course each way terms here, 50 yards place 1 through to 6 with this mammoth field. Were those the only two?
Yeah, there's plenty you can give mentions to. Thomas Aiken has got some nice form in this event. I think he's got 4 top 5s in the last 6 years and in decent form, just not quite done it on this course, but could maybe forgive him that. Eric Van Rooyen's played some nice golf this year, and all those at the front of the market,
yeah.
Oosthuizen and Wallace, Fratelli, Gray, Schwartzel, you can't fall over in disbelief if any of those are right up there for the most of the week. And Justin Harding, my old mate's there again at 33s. I was tempted, to be honest, to put him in again. I probably thinking he was 40-1 in a weaker field last week.
Yeah, sure.
But then again, he justified it, so he's someone to think about at 33s. I just wonder if he's carrying a bit of disappointment over, because he was there, tournament was there to win. It was wide open. That would have given him a 2-year exemption on the European Tour, and he kind of fluffed his lines a bit on the final day, but he's there anyway at 33s.
Okay, Dean Burmester and Darren Fickart, though, the picks in that one, 20-1 and 50-1 respectively. On to the event stateside this week, and don't forget this is a Friday start time as opposed to a Thursday start time. They only play 54 holes, and is the QBE shootout this week, formerly the Shark shootout amongst other guises and various names over the years. Been going a long while, this event. Played in Florida at the Tiburon Golf Club, which is a par 72 course, 7,288 yards, the course measurements. A team stroke play event with all three rounds coming under a slightly different format. We start in round one with a scramble format, where both players tee off and select the best ball, and then that best ball continues for every shot until the hole is done, leading to some very low scores, no doubt. Round two is one that's a little bit more familiar. Greensomes, where both players tee off and then select the best ball from there, then alternate shots for the rest of the hole. And round three is a traditional four balls format. I think, Dave, is that your understanding of the event?
I think you've just about got there,
It's been that format since 2014. The event has been played at this golf course since 2001. So we've had plenty of chances to see the event at this course. There's been a fair few multiple winners as well, either with the same partner or with different ones. Most recently, we've seen Harris English and Matt Kuchar win this in 2013 and then again in 2016. Last year's winners, Sean O'Hare and Steve Stricker, are both also multiple winners, but with different partners. So there do seem to be players who play well in this event, but despite that, they're always hard to bet in, these kind of events.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the most ridiculous piece of odds making if you just put everyone in at the same price, to be honest, because, you know, it's... it is wide open. I guess maybe Tony Finau's playing with Lexi Thompson, but obviously her kind of lack of length off the tee, well, she'll be playing Finau's ball in one of the formats.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
Sort of that, and she's obviously got a lot of other skills from irons and short play. So, and then I suppose Luke Donald has been in terrible form, but you can sort of mask it in this format.
Mm.
So it's, you know, there is a case for certainly concertining the betting up a little bit more than it is.
They've landed on Cameron Champ and Kevin Kisner as the 4-1 favourites.
Yeah, Cameron Champ's kind of the new shiny thing in golf because he hits it a mile and it goes straight, which is quite a useful combination, to be honest.
It's not a bad attribute to have, is it, really?
And we've seen him win already and challenge alongside that. And Kevin Kisner's a good guy to have alongside as well. So you can see why people might gravitate towards them. But as I said earlier on the podcast, you look at some of the winners here. So Steve Stricker in his 50s now. Stricker won it with Jerry Kelly. You know, they were knocking on a bit, and those two finished runner-up before. And Kenny Perry won it in 2012. These are all sort of veteran guys. So you wonder maybe, because it's kind of what they call giggle golf, it's all a bit of...
I like that. I've never heard that before.
It's all a bit end-of-season fodder, isn't it?
That
some of the younger guys are so used to sort of the competition, can they quite relax into it as much as the older fellas who probably played more of this stuff back in the day. So I'm going to use that idea to go with last year's winners, actually, for a repeat.
That's Sean O'Hare and Steve Stricker, who are 14-1.
Yeah, I think they should maybe be nearer sort of nines or tens, to be honest. Stricker has won it twice before. I think you said earlier people have won it with different partners. So he won it
Jerry Kelly in 09, then again last year.
And then Sean O'Hare won it with Kenny Perry. So Sean O'Hare showed he could team up with a veteran and win it on two occasions. So,
and to be fair as well, a pairing going back to back in this event has happened twice before. 2000 and 2001, we had a pairing of back to back, and it happened again in 03 and 04. So there have been examples of people retaining their crown here.
If you like this sort of thing, then if you're good at it, you're just good at it, and it'll probably repeat next year. And cases of people winning it and finishing runner-up as well. Yeah. So all you'd really want as a sort of fail-safe check was, well, Stricker's knocking on a bit now. He's, he's on the senior tour. Can he still sort of play? But if you look at this event is in Florida, obviously. You look at Stricker in Florida on the PGA Tour this year, 12th at the Valspar and 23rd at the Players Championship. I mean, finishing so high in those two positions in really, really top class field, he can definitely still cut it. And obviously, you know, he'll be using some of O'Hare's drives at times, and Stricker's got such a great wedge game and such a good putter as well, that some of his attributes are more, you know, magnified and exaggerated in this format. So he's plenty of good form, and actually a winner the last time he teed it up on the Champions Tour. So no worries from his point of view in terms of form. It's a slightly harder sell for O'Hare because he's been missing a few cuts, but last time we saw him was the RSM Classic only last month, and he finished 46, which is okay because
in the context of this anyway.
It's enough to show he's not sort of broken his arm or something, or he can't play anymore. He actually shot a 63 in round two in that tournament, so that certainly bodes well for the defence. And he's someone who's always played well in Florida, Sean O'Hare, so it just seems a good partnership that you can get on side with again. And at that sort of price, if you're backing them at sevens, it's almost a sort of money-back job, isn't it? But 14s is a bit of each-way juice there. And why not get the win as well?
Yeah, quarter of the odds placed 1, 2 and 3 for this event with 12 runners, essentially. Cameron Champ and Kevin Kisner, 4-1. Bryson DeChambeau and Kevin Na are 5-1. Billy Horschel, Brant Snedeker, 6-1. It's 7-1, and bigger prices for the rest of them. But Dave landing on Sean O'Hare and Steve Stricker to go back-to-back in this event. And as I said, I think they'd be the third pairing to go back to back in this event, the QBE shootout. Before we turn our attention to staking strategies, Dave, anyone that would wrangle you were they to win this week? There's a few obvious ones in the South African Open, I guess, but
I think if Wallace and Fratelli, either of those two, had been bigger prices, I would have been on board. But tens is just a bit prohibitive.
Yes.
in the QBE, not really. I think the ones that are short price, they're just too short for me. So, and kind of no one would surprise me winning that. But I just think we've got a bit of value in the defending champs.
Yes. Okay. Staking strategies next then, please, Dave. How do you play these two events?
Yeah, so in South Africa, I will go a point and a half each way on Dean Burmester at 20s and also a point each way on Darren Fickart at 50s, was he?
50 to
at
1, 50s, yeah.
Yeah. So that's that in South Africa. In the QBE, 14 to 1, I'll go a point and a half each way on Sean O'Hare and Steve Stricker. That's what, a quarter, 1, 2, 3.
It is. Yeah, 5th, 1 through to 6 for South African Open and a quarter, 1, 2, 3 for the QBE Shootout, which is the two tournaments that we've got coming up this week. The South African Open starts on Thursday. The QBE Shootout starts on Friday. All the betting available to you on the William Hill website ahead of this week's two golfing events. Dave, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.